the Ulysses, man's greatest achievement. A ship capable of traveling to distant galaxies. But a freak accident leaves the ship helpless. Its AI, damaged, dangerous, plays a deadly game with the two surviving members of the crew. If they indulge the machine's newfound passion for science fiction and fantasy trivia, it will permit limited access to the astrogation matrix in Star Drive. For astronauts Clive Ashenden and Rob Wickens, the choice is clear. If they ever want to see Earth again, they must define the A to Z of SFF.
A is for Apex. Movie. Continue.
Okay, I have a confession to make. I could not finish this film. This is APEX, 1990 something or other. It's a time travel movie, and it's absolutely...
1994!
See, now, you sound like you know more about this film than I do, because, like I say, I could watch it. I just completely lost interest about 20 minutes in. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Okay. APEX, which is an acronym which stands for Advanced Prototype Exploration Unit. That's right, the E and the X are actually... They sort of gave up on the acronym towards the end there. Which is a bit of a warning sign. So that actually refers to the robot unit that gets sent back in time in order to sanitize any time mistakes that were made by a time travel experiment gone wrong. Okay. This is very much a direct-to-video B-movie. From director Philip J. Moth, writer, director, producer, who is something of a kind of specialised in 1990s B-movie sci-fi knockoffs of better science fiction films. So various films which were either kind of referencing The Terminator, Predator, The Lawnmower Man. So you get films like Prototype, Total Reality, Dark Drive, Velocity Trap, and Interceptor Force. Yeah, you know those ones, right?
Big fan of Interceptor Force.
Apex. I think you would be wrong. What is there to say about this? It is a quite astoundingly poor film. Richard Keats plays the lead, Nicholas Sinclair, who's the lead project scientist in the year 2073. He's the kind of leader of this time travel experiment, which for reasons they never really go into, they've discovered time travel, so they decide they want to make sure that it works. They're going to send a drone back to the year 1973. For some reason, in order to test whether this works, so they set up this facility in the middle of the Mojave Desert in order not to affect any built up areas. Unfortunately, there is their intelligence on the past doesn't tell them that there is a road that goes through the Mojave Desert in 1973. So
did they not have access to maps back then?
Apparently not. No. It's sort of bizarre because the film opens with the Nicholas Sinclair character having a nightmare that his experiment leads to his wife zapping out of existence and a whole altered timeline. This turns out to be a nightmare, and then he goes into work. And then it goes, and then basically the time travel bit goes wrong. So they send back an Apex unit in order to sort of to make sure that this, I'm trying to get this straight in my mind here. It was a little bit unclear that the exploration unit they sent for in the first place was destroyed and there and wouldn't interrupt the timeline. Unfortunately, this whole thing is witnessed by a family traveling through the Mojave Desert in their car, and a little boy is sort of caught in the explosion. He's hurt, but he's all right. Our hero, Nicholas Sinclair, jumps through time in order to make sure that it's all gone right. And in doing so, he ruptures the timeline and creates an alternative timeline. Basically, he by going in and saving the kid, he ruins the world. So therefore, at which point a window opens up and he jumps through that and it takes him back to the future, only it's not his future, it's the future of 2073 Mad Maxville. The bit I never really understood about this logic here is why this base that they created kept creating new robots and sending them out to kill people. Mm. It just seemed a bit strange. Wouldn't someone have just they've had 100 years of this. You would have thought that they would have at least traced it back to the source. This is also a plague-ridden future for other reasons not really gone into. There's all this sort of disease, which is again seems to have come out through the timeline being ruptured. The more you talk about this film, the more my head hurts.
It's just a complete mess.
I sort of like that. It's a time travel film, and they actually try and go into the consequences of time travel, and they worry about things like paradoxes. However, the writing is pretty poor from Mr. Philip J. Roth, and he's co-credited with the screenplay with Ron Schmidt and story with Giancarlo Scandiuzzi. It's just scene after scene of sort of people kind of bickering, but it's that sort of flat conflict where nothing really gets resolved. So if you imagine a series of scenes where a sort of ragtag future platoon go about their business of trying to sort of kill these killer robots whilst arguing, but the arguments never get resolved because every 5 minutes they will be attacked by a new Apex unit, which will then explode after they fire into it. The Apex unit itself looks like something out of it could be like a sort of like a villain from a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle film, or it could be from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It's of that level. It's very obviously a man in a suit. This is a very, very poor movie. I'm not surprised you didn't get through it, Rob. It's terrible. It may be the most explodey movie I've ever seen, in that in order to keep people's attention, they just keep blowing things up. The pyrotechnics man tries to keep things interesting, but really, it's just you just want the film to end.
I'll have to admit, I sort of got through the first 20 minutes, then started sort of skipping forward in random sort of 10-minute bursts, and it felt like I was watching the same scene over and over and over and over again.
That's very much the effect you get. They try and go for this kind of predator platoon thing. You've got this guy who's doing a Bill Duke impression. It's just really painful. At the end, you'll be pleased to know they managed to resolve the time travel paradox.
And
his future wife, who basically didn't recognise him at all and hated him, played by former Revlon model Lisa Ann Russell. He fixes the timeline, but even though things go back to normal at the end. Spoilers, she's now pregnant because you can't ever put things back completely the way they were before. And that's what he's learned from this. You shouldn't mess with time travel, kids.
Don't tamper with the forces of nature, kiddos. The one interesting the one tiny little bit of science fiction trivia that I took away from this was that they reused the Landmaster that was in Damnation Alley. It's that really cool sort of dual purpose kind of land cruiser thing.
Yes, if you want if you want a good cult movie which nods to things like the Terminator, then go for Trancers. Watch Trancers over this any day of the week.
Absolutely.
Just don't watch Apex. It's appalling.
So then, that's it. Frankly, Cyclomedia, we don't care what you think. We hated this movie. So if that's sufficient, if it's not sufficient, we don't care. We're taking a stand.
Time to end this.
The A to Z of SFF was written and performed by Rob Wickings and Clive Ashenden. The show was produced and edited by Rob Wickings at All Hallows Post of Reading, the finest sound available anywhere. Would you like to know more? Go to www.theatozofsff.com. Like us on Facebook as The A to Z of SFF, or follow us on Twitter at The A to Z of SFF.